Hi everyone, today we're going to be reading the Everett Independent. This edition is from Wednesday, February 18th, 2026. Van Kampen signs statement of support for the Guard and Reserve, special to the Independent. Mayor Robert J. Van Kampen proudly signed a statement of support for the employer support of the Guard and Reserve, ESGR, reaffirming the City of Everett's commitment to supporting employees who serve in the United States National Guard and Reserve. Everett Police Department EPD Captain Paul Landry, who also serves as the vice chair of the ESGR for Massachusetts, joined Mayor Van Kampen in his office to sign the official statement of support. By signing the statement of support, the City of Everett recognizes the important role that National Guard members and reservists play in protecting the nation and affirms its commitment to supporting employees who balance military service with their civilian careers. My father served proudly as a member of the Army National Guard, so when Captain Landry asked me to sign a statement of support for the employer's support of the Guard and Reserve, it was an easy decision, said Mayor Van Kampen. Everett is grateful to all who serve our country, and we are proud to reaffirm our commitment to supporting our National Guard members and reservists. Thank you to ESGR for their partnership and to the veterans who continue their service to our community. The City of Everett remains committed to honoring the service and sacrifice of its employees who serve in the Guard and Reserve and to maintaining a workplace that supports their continued contributions both in uniform and in public service. Middlesex District Attorney concludes officer-involved shooting investigation. The Middlesex District Attorney's Office has concluded the investigation into the non-fatal shooting of Admilson Vizcano, 33, of Malden. Vizcano was shot by Everett police following an alleged carjacking incident that occurred on July 1, 2025. Admilson Vizcano, charged with 5 counts of attempted armed carjacking, 2 counts of armed carjacking, assault by means of a dangerous weapon, armed assault to rob and leaving the scene of a collision resulting in property damage. On July 31st, 2025, at around 12:45 p.m., the Medford Police Department received a report of a person acting erratically at a local gas station. That person was later identified as Admilson Vizcano. Vizcano left the gas station in a black Chevrolet SUV before police could arrive and the Medford Police Department put out a BOLO, be on the lookout for. Following incidents in multiple communities, Vizcano eventually drove into Everett and crashed his SUV into multiple vehicles on Broadway in the area of Mystic. Vizcano tumbled from his vehicle and allegedly attempted to carjack multiple nearby vehicles while wielding a knife. Massachusetts State Police troopers and Everett police officers surrounded Vizcano, who allegedly swung at them with the knife. State police troopers used non-lethal force, a taser, in an attempt to subdue him. The suspect continued to evade police on foot after being tased and approached a garbage truck which was stopped at a red light. Vizcano opened the driver's side door of the garbage truck and forcibly gained control of the truck, which contained 2 occupants. The passenger was able to exit the truck while the suspect, still armed with the knife, struggled with the driver. Everett Police Officer Daniel Wall fired his weapon at Vizcano and was able to pull the driver from the truck. Vizcano then drove the garbage truck approximately a half mile down the road before crashing into the guardrail on the Alfred Street Bridge. The police were able to remove him from the truck and arrest him. He was transported to a nearby hospital. Our review of the facts reveals that in the totality of the circumstances, Officer Daniel Wall was justified in the use of deadly force in defense of himself and others, based upon his own belief and the reasonable objective belief that he and his fellow officers, the Republic Services truck driver, and citizens in the area were in imminent danger of death or serious bodily injury at the time he fired his firearm. Based upon a full review of the facts and the applicable law, no criminal charges are warranted. This report is being released in redacted form in accordance with the Rules of Professional Conduct Rule 3.14, Fairness to Opposing Party and Counsel. These redactions are made to protect the integrity of the criminal case currently pending against Mr. Vizcano, as well as to ensure Mr. Vizcano's right to a fair trial. Witness testimony and the names of the civilian witnesses have been redacted in part. Police reports and other additional documents related to the pending criminal case against Mr. Vizcaino are barred from public disclosure at this stage, as these records constitute investigatory materials necessarily compiled out of the public view by law enforcement or other investigatory officials, the disclosure of which materials would probably so prejudice the possibility of effective law enforcement that such disclosure would not be in the public interest. See GL C47CL26, Exemption F. DiDomenico recognizes Trooper Charles for saving man's life. Last week, Senator Sal DiDomenico recognized Massachusetts State Police Trooper Rahsaan Charles, an Everett resident, during Senate formal session for his extraordinary bravery saving a man's life on the Tobin Bridge. Trooper Charles responded to what initially appeared to be an abandoned vehicle on the Tobin Bridge, but instead he encountered a man in deep distress, standing on a steel beam high above traffic at one of the most vulnerable moments of his life. For nearly 2 hours in the cold, Trooper Charles stood with him, not just as a law enforcement officer, but as a fellow human being. Drawing on his crisis negotiator training, he built trust, spoke with empathy, and repeatedly reminded the man of something we all need to hear in our darkest moments, that he was not alone. Trooper Charles is a true hero among us, and I am beyond proud to have a courageous and caring person like him protecting our residents and keeping our community safe, said Senator DiDomenico. PCSS students participate in Volunteer Day at Cradles to Crayons. Pioneer Charter School of Sciences, or PCSS's, Healthcare Club recently participated in a volunteer day at Cradles to Crayons, a Newton-based nonprofit that provides essential items to children living in homeless or low-income situations. Students from the Everett School helped provide warm winter clothing for children across the community. The volunteer effort was led by juniors Jasmine Kumbaubi and Hajar Azid, who served as student leaders throughout the experience. The activity connected to key themes of healthcare and wellness, showing students how small acts of care and service can make a meaningful difference in people's lives while strengthening the broader community. Everett High School Hockey and Cheerleading Senior Night. Everett High School honored its senior hockey players and senior cheerleaders on Senior Night during a ceremony held before the Lynn Jets Everett game on Friday, February 13th at Allied Veterans Rink in Everett. Each senior hockey player and cheerleader was introduced and recognized for his or her contributions, accompanied by their proud families on the red carpet covering the ice surface. Flowers were presented to the parents of the student athletes. Everett competes at a co-op program with Revere High, Malden High, and Mystic Valley Regional of Malden. For Linda and David Saya, it was a momentous ceremony that concluded 11 consecutive seasons of their three sons, current captain Benjamin Saya and his brothers Dominic and David Saya, competing in the Everett High hockey program. Mrs. Saya was a tremendous contributor and fundraiser for the program, and her immense support in advancing and supporting Everett High sports were greatly appreciated by the players, coaches, and parents in the program. Van Kampen announces information session for free senior meter stickers. Mayor Robert J. Van Kampen is pleased to announce that the City of Everett will host an information session to help residents ages 65 and older apply for the Senior Meter Sticker Program on Wednesday, February 25th from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. at the Edward G. Connolly Center at 90 Chelsea Street. During the session, representatives from the Office of the Parking Clerk will be available to explain the program, answer questions, and assist residents with completing their applications. The Senior Meter Sticker Program is designed to ease the financial burden on older adults, particularly those living on fixed incomes. Eligible Everett residents with a valid driver's license and vehicle registration may apply for a free Senior Meter Sticker, which provides complimentary parking at all metered locations throughout the city. We want to make it as easy as possible for our older residents to take advantage of programs that can help them save money, said Mayor Van Kampen. By offering hands-on assistance, we're making sure eligible residents have the support they need to access this benefit. The program officially launched on January 1st. Residents may also apply in person at Everett City Hall by bringing a valid driver's license and vehicle registration. The sticker is limited to one per eligible resident and is valid for one calendar year. For more information about the Senior Meter Sticker Program, please contact Constituent Services at 617-394-2270 or email Parking Director Adriana Indrisano at adriana.indrisano@ci.everett.ma.us. Everett Democrats to hold caucus on Saturday, February 28th. The Everett Democratic City Committee is pleased to announce that they will hold its annual caucus on Saturday, February 28th at 10 a.m. at the Connolly Center at 90 Chelsea Street in Everett. Registration will open at 9:30 a.m. and close promptly at 10:15 a.m. Once registration is closed and the caucus begins, no additional registration will be permitted. The purpose of the caucus is to elect delegates and alternates to the 2026 Massachusetts Democratic Convention. The convention will be held on May 30th at the DCU Center in Worcester. Delegates will gather to refine the party's vision, to voice support for our nominees for governor, lieutenant governor, United States Senate, and to elect Democrats across the Commonwealth. Participation in the caucus is open to all Everett resident registered Democrats. However, you must be present at the caucus to run for an elected delegate or alternate slot. The caucus itself is open to the public. Light refreshments will be served. Youth, minorities, people with disabilities, and LGBTQ individuals who are not elected as a delegate or alternate may apply to be an add-on delegate at the caucus or at www.massdems.org. Please, for more information, please contact Mark Puleo at mcpuleo@gmail.com. Healy Driscoll Administration invests nearly $330,000 in state cybersecurity. The Healy Driscoll Administration announced that approximately $329,584 in federal funds will support cybersecurity incident response planning and exercises across state agencies. 11 state agencies were awarded grants through the Cybersecurity Incident Response Planning and Tabletop Exercise Grant Opportunity, including the Middlesex Sheriff's Office, with an award amount of $40,000. This program allows state agencies to develop cybersecurity incident response plans and to test existing plans through tabletop exercises. Securing our infrastructure is critical to our ability to defend against cyber attacks, said Governor Maura Healey. As threats continue to evolve, we will work to ensure that state agencies and local governments have access to tools and resources to strengthen their cybersecurity. These awards will ensure that state agencies delivering vital services are prepared to respond to cybersecurity incidents, said Lieutenant Governor Kim Driscoll. This reflects our administration's commitment to best practices that prevent and mitigate evolving threats. The grant program utilizes federal funds awarded to Massachusetts through the State and Local Cybersecurity Grant Program, SLCGP. As the state administrative agency for grant funds awarded to Massachusetts by Federal Emergency Management Agency, FEMA, the Office of Grants and Research, OGR, manages the funds. Use of the federal funds is guided by the Massachusetts Cybersecurity Planning Committee, which is chaired by the state's Chief Information Officer, Technology Services and Security Secretary Jason Snyder. Cybersecurity for our public infrastructure is central to the safety of our state and community, said Public Safety and Security Secretary Gina Kwan. Through these grants, state agencies will be able to implement and test response plans to more effectively manage future threats. A cyber incident response plan is not just a document on a shelf. It's a playbook for protecting critical public services. And a plan only becomes effective when it is pressure tested, said Technology Services and Security Secretary Jason Snyder. This grant enables state agencies to write their cyber playbooks and find any gaps before attackers do, strengthen coordination across departments, and build the whole of state capability to respond quickly and transparently in the event of a cybersecurity incident. Cybersecurity threats impact all of us, and the stakes are higher when malicious actors target our public infrastructure and resources, said OGR Executive Director Kevin Stanton. These grants support state agencies to prevent cyber attacks from interrupting public services. DiDomenico and colleagues act to strengthen consumer protections. Last week, Senator DiDomenico and his colleagues in the Massachusetts Senate took action to give everyone a fair shot at access to housing and expanding the state's car buyer protection law for people who buy new and used vehicles. The two bills they acted upon, S-2947 and S-2945, were passed unanimously, demonstrating the urgent need for these common sense policies. I am proud to work alongside my colleagues to strengthen consumer protections so we can provide our residents extra peace of mind when finding a new home or purchasing a car, said Senator DiDomenico. Housing and transportation are essential needs for consumers across our state, and these bills will go a long way towards eliminating discrimination from the housing industry and significantly reducing financial risks during the car buying process. Car buyer protections. Lengthening the state's Lemon Law timeline, customers who purchase a new or used vehicle would have 7 days after receiving delivery of the auto to void the sale if the vehicle fails to pass inspection. The bill DiDomenico and his colleagues passed would also boost the maximum mileage for used vehicle warranties by 50,000 miles, up to 175,000 miles, protecting drivers who buy older and more affordable cars. Guarding consumers from the effects of fraud, the legislation doubles up to $50,000, the surety bond that used car dealers are required to post to receive their license. The bond is held for the benefit of any buyers who experience fraud. S-2945, an act modernizing protections for consumers in automobile transactions, also supports people who choose to lease their car by giving lessees a 21-day grace period to catch up on their payments before the car is repossessed. Housing protections. Illegal discrimination continues to hamper many home buyers and renters' ability to find a home. One of the bills DiDomenico and his colleagues passed, S-2947, an act regarding fair housing practices in the Commonwealth, takes aim at discrimination in the housing market by mandating fair housing training for all real estate agents and strengthening state enforcement of fair housing law. In a 2020 study, by the Boston Foundation and Suffolk University, researchers found that 71% of Black participants faced housing discrimination and were 30% more likely to be ghosted by real estate agents. The same study found that renters of all backgrounds with housing vouchers were highly likely to be prevented from even seeing apartments. The legislation would toughen penalties for second offense fair housing law violations, increasing a current 90-day license suspension to 180 days. Violations include discrimination against potential renters or buyers based on characteristics such as their color, ancestry, marital status, or use of a housing voucher. In cases where violations occur, the bill bridges an existing gap in the license suspension process by allowing the Attorney General and fair housing agencies to directly refer findings of violations to the Board of Registration of Real Estate Brokers and Salespersons. Under the bill, applicants for a real estate license would, as part of their broader educational requirements, receive 4 hours of classroom instruction on fair housing law, and current real estate agents would receive 2 hours of instruction as part of their license renewal process. The training would help agents avoid discrimination against potential buyers or renters based on demographics like race, national origin, religion, disability, or age, all of which is illegal under state and federal law. EHS boys basketball clinches tourney berth. The Everett High boys basketball team punched its ticket for a journey to the tourney with a 57-50 victory at Greater Boston League GBL rival Medford last Tuesday. The triumph improved coach Gerard Boyce and his crew's record to 11-7, thereby assuring the Crimson Tide of the 500 record that is needed to qualify for the MIAA Division I state tournament. Everett's winning effort was fueled by a dominant offensive display from Christian Vasquez, who led all scorers with 26 points, and Samir King Da Costa, who contributed a crucial 14 points. This was the second game of a back-to-back, and our boys showed incredible stamina and mental toughness to secure a victory on the road, said Boyce. This win marked our 10th victory in the last 12 games, giving us a significant momentum as we head into the final stretch of the season. I'm extremely proud of my boys. The Tide carried that momentum into their next contest, Two nights later at home with GBLFO Revere, in which Everett cruised to a 79-41 victory over the Patriots. We picked up a 79-41 win over Revere, but to be honest, it wasn't our best showing, said Boyce. We were not very good on the defensive end for a large stretch of the game, and we still have plenty of work to do. For us to be competitive moving forward, we have to play with much more intensity on that side of the ball, Boyce continued. Fortunately, our defense pulled us out in the second half. The guys finally found that intensity when it mattered most, which allowed us to get the stops we needed to pull away. We're going to get back to basics and practice and make sure we're bringing that defensive energy for a full four quarters in our next one. Last Friday, the Tide traveled to Newton South and came up on the short end of a 72-62 decision. King DaCosta topped the Everett scoring column with 20 points, followed by Al Sandor with 15 points and Vasquez with 14. We had a tough battle against Newton South, said Boyce, and while we didn't play our best basketball, I was proud to see our guys stay competitive until the very end. The fatigue of playing four games in 5 days definitely caught up to us, and we were not very good on the defensive end as a result. Despite the tired legs, we still saw some great offensive production from our leaders. Even though we struggled to find our usual rhythm as a unit, having three players in double figures shows the grit we have, even when the schedule is grueling, the coach added. We're going to use this hard-fought stretch as a learning experience, get some much-needed rest, and get back into the gym to sharpen our defensive rotations before the next one. Boyce and his Tide crew, who now stand at 12-8, are scheduled to wrap up their regular season with two challenging contests at non-league opponent Beverly, which is ranked 15th in D1, this evening, Wednesday, and at Lynn Classical, the 2026 GBL champion that is ranked number 4 in D3, tomorrow on Thursday. They then will await word of their final seeding and first-round opponent in the D1 state tourney. Kervin's Joseph is 10th in 55 at D2 meet. Everett High boys track speedster Kervin's Joseph finished in 10th place at last Wednesday's Division II state track meet that was held at the track at the New Balance in Brighton. Joseph's time of 6.74 was a mere 0.04 of a second off the 8th place finisher, leaving him just shy of qualifying for the finals and earning a medal. Kervin's also competed in the long jump and finished in 23rd place with a leap of 17 feet and 11.5 inches. Teammate Lucas Nunez turned in a fine effort in the 1,000 meter with a 20th place finish and a clocking of 2 minutes and 49.21 seconds. Gaetano Foster's toss of 40 feet 9 inches in the shot put landed Gaetano with a 17th place finish. The Crimson Tide 4x200 relay quartet of Sandish Pun, Joseph, Simon Silva, and Benley Pyram finished in 20th place with a time of 1 minute and 38.03 seconds. The Everett 4x800 team of Carlos Pagan Landeo, Christopher Portillo Cruz, Jeremy Whitlow, and Nunez finished in 16th place with a time of 9 minutes and 19.89 seconds. On the girls' side, Sinead Riley finished in 20th place in the 55-meter dash with a sprint of 7.86. Graziella Foster likewise finished 20th in her specialty, the shot put, with a throw of 28 feet, 1.75 inches. EHS girls defeat Revere. The Everett High girls basketball team earned one of its most satisfying victories of the season with a 47-31 triumph over Greater Boston League rival Revere last Thursday. This was a nice bounce-back win after our tough loss to Medford, said RHS head coach Riley Dunn. It was a great team win. Juliana Rivera led the way with 16 points and 8 rebounds. Katerin Landaverde Vasquez reached double figures with 11 points and pulled down 6 boards. Ariana Rouse, Landaverde Vasquez, and Martinez all had 3 assists in the team win. Two nights earlier, on senior night, the Lady Crimson Tide dropped a heartbreaker at the buzzer to GBL foe Medford 52-50. We were thankful for a great crowd and a successful senior night and teacher appreciation night, said Dunn. But unfortunately, we lost at the end to a buzzer beater. However, it was one heck of a game. Rivera struck for 22 points and pulled down 6 rebounds. Landaverde Vasquez hit for 12 points, and Martinez reached double figures with 10. Nicole Damasceno pulled down 15 boards and remains a consistent force for our team, said Dunn. The following night, the Lady Crimson Tide took on second place Lynn Classical for their third game in 4 days and came up on the short end of a 45-33 decision. We just ran out of steam at the end, noted Dunn. This past Sunday, the Tide made the long trek to non-league opponent Haverhill and fell by a score of 56-42. Landaverde Vasquez has a nice double-double with 10 points and 10 rebounds. Juniors Kylie Nord and Abigail Falkowski both had great minutes off the bench, said Dunn. Both impacted the game immediately with an and-one play. We had great minutes from the underclassmen who took advantage of every minute on the court. Captains Casey Martinez and Nicole Damasceno were relentless on every play, making the extra hustle plays and consistently leading by example, contributing 5 steals and 14 rebounds together, Dunn added. The Lady Crimson Tide are scheduled to wrap up their 2026 season with 3 home contests this week. Yesterday on Tuesday versus Gloucester, today Wednesday versus Classical, and tomorrow Thursday versus North High School. The opening tip for all 3 is set for 1 o'clock. Ramadan begins this week, from the Independent Forum. Ramadan, which will begin this week following the sighting of the crescent moon, is the holiest month of the year for members of the Muslim faith. For 2026, Ramadan is projected to start as early as Tuesday, February 17th, and extend through Thursday, March 19th, or Friday, March 20th, upon the sighting of the new crescent moon. Muslims believe this is the month in which the Quran's first verses were revealed to the Prophet Muhammad. Ramadan is observed worldwide as a month of fasting, daily prayer, reflection, and community. Fasting from dawn to sunset each day is obligatory for all healthy adults and involves abstaining from all food and drink, including water. This practice is intended to cultivate taqwa, God consciousness, self-discipline, and empathy for the less fortunate. The day begins with a pre-dawn meal known as suhoor, and the fast is broken at sunset with a meal called iftar, often shared with family and neighbors.